It's the Early Access Podcast, episode 39 is August 4th, 2020. I'm your host, Nikki, and Kuehler is here for emotional support. We have a lot of fun gaming topics to talk about, coronavirus topics to talk about, shares. But first things first, I'm going to talk about the massive news that came out right after I woke up. There is a massive explosion in Lebanon. I saw this explosion from probably a dozen different angles, from the water, from the top story of what I would assume are apartment buildings, on the news. And I was keeping up with it in particular. This absolute catastrophe, and we still don't know why it was caused. There's a lot of rumors going around saying it was a fireworks factory that caught on fire and explode. Trump said that it was a terrorist attack, even though I'm actually just going to read this piece from CNN. U.S. President Donald Trump offered sympathy and assistance to the people of Lebanon, referring to the incident as a terrible attack. Lebanese officials have not called the explosion an attack. That's from CNN, the fake news source, so take that as you will. I'm not entirely sure why it went off, but the reason I actually care about this story a little bit is because I think in 2017, 2018, I was scouring Reddit for VR games to go play when I was at E3, and I saw this small indie studio talk about their game. The studio was called Game Cooks. They made Highway Madness and Vendetta, and it was a VR game that I really ended up liking. I went there. Their devs were super nice, but I in particular became friends with one developer who lived in Beirut, which is where this actually happened, and is the only reason I actually know how to pronounce that word, and is the only reason I actually know where this country is. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'd be willing to bet $10, 10 space bucks, that 50% or more of Americans couldn't point Lebanon out on the map. I don't think I could have if I didn't meet people from there. And I know someone
I know the area. I know the area, but I might get the specific country wrong. Although there's like three to choose from, so.
It's right near Syria. It's on the Mediterranean, but geography aside,
I know that much. That much I know.
It's a city where I actually know someone from, and I haven't spoken to her in years. I was actually in Japan the last time she visited the U.S. Because I was out there on vacation, and I unfortunately didn't get back in time to see her again. But I do have some acquaintances out there who have offered me some advice, and I care about those people. And so that's kind of why I was a little bit concerned, because it wasn't just a random catastrophe. It was a catastrophe that impacted people I knew. And this explosion, for those of you who haven't seen the video, and unfortunately it's an audio-only podcast available on Spotify, iTunes, so I can only describe it to you. It looked like that mission in the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, where they fail to disarm a nuke and you go back for a pilot and the nuke just blows up and kills. It looks like that tier of explosion, right? It was insane. And when I see the protest videos, I ain't kind of critical. I say, oh man, you got to hold the camera steady, buy a stabilizer, and point, and don't flinch when the cop shoots that man. You got to keep the camera pointed at. I want to see the action. This explosion was so serious that people 10 kilometers away, which in American Freedom units is 6.2 miles, had homes damaged. This was an insane explosion. Houses, glass broken everywhere. Cars literally flipped around. There were pictures of people just The Last of Us style wandering the streets with bandages on their arms, bleeding from their heads, glass everywhere. Cars literally turned over. It was absolutely insane. There were boats on the water where people were dropping their phones into the ocean. It was a real serious explosion. I looked into it a little bit. So far, they are up to, at first I heard dozens, and then I heard 50. Last time I checked a couple hours ago after we recorded the Early X podcast, we were live at 8 p.m. PDT on twitch.tv/delshapu. 78 confirmed dead. That's unfortunately going to go up because I'm sure there's many buried under the rubble. Thousands injured. Hospitals in the area were already struggling because of the Rona. Some hospitals were already at full capacity because of the Rona. They're experiencing, in the country, hyperinflation right now. Hundreds of staff in hospitals were laid off because of this hyperinflation. There's a banking crisis right now, so you can't even pull out money if you needed to. And the explosion was on the port, and they rely a lot on imports to sustain their economy. And having your literal entire port explode, I'm not an economist, and I can't really say the damage that is going to be done because of that, but it is a lot. Their poverty rates right now are above 50%. This registered as a 3.3 magnitude earthquake, which if you're in California, you're thinking, ah, this bitch shit. 3.3 earthquake, that's nothing. But that's an earthquake caused not by tectonic plates in the core of the earth moving, but because a building exploded. That's pretty serious. And it's going so far that the U.S. Embassy in Beirut is saying that you should wear masks in the area because not only of the Rona, but there is now toxic gas in the air. This was an incredible catastrophe, and I know this isn't a news podcast, but I do have some friends and people I've met over there in the area. I have reached out to them via Twitter asking how they're doing. I'm sure many people are also. They haven't responded because of time zone differences. I don't even know if they check their Twitter anymore. I really hope that they're safe because I legitimately do know people who live in that city. And I hope they're all right. I'm not even sure if they check that Twitter anymore. And a bunch of people have gone missing. But of course, in times like this, I think the least important thing to do is the thing Californians do. Whenever there's an earthquake, we all get on Twitter and type out, "Whoa, earthquake!" As it is happening, I have been on Twitter because I've lived in California my entire life during earthquakes. And while the ground was still shaking, I've seen my Twitter feed refresh and 50 people go, "Earthquake, earthquake, earthquake." And it happens in LA also. I'll see a bunch of people at the same time talk about earthquake. Talking to me and reassuring Nikki from Stealth Shampoo is probably the least of your concerns. It's probably best to evacuate, which they're having problems doing also. As you can imagine, the streets were jammed, not only with rubble, but people trying to get the hell out of the place. But it was, I do not, this year has been insane. I mean, with the whole global pandemic, the president trying to shut down TikTok, and then a literal explosion happening. I in my life, I'm an internet veteran. I have never seen an explosion, save for the ones in Call of Duty or that MOAB I dropped at Modern Warfare 3. I have not seen an explosion this big. It was absolutely devastating.
Live. There's like footage of the old, you know, there's footage of nuclear bomb testing and whatnot.
Yeah. Live. In my lifetime.
I've seen like happen live, happen in person. There happened a few explosions. There's like a big one in China of like a big factory blew up. That was also gigantic and like wiped out a part of the city. But this one was special. Not in a good way. It was horrifying to look at.
You know, had 9/11 happened in the 2020s, there'd be a lot more cell phone footage of it, right? I was obviously young when 9/11 happened. How old was I? Six, seven, somewhere around there. And
seven.
When, you know, if that were to happen today, I would have been able to watch the buildings collapse from literally hundreds of different angles. Similar to the protests, right? I was able to watch that explosion. I think from every cardinal direction, I was able to watch that explosion.
Yeah.
From There's I saw one from the ocean next inland. To it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's a video from the building next to it, which that person, I really don't think they lived through that.
I wonder how they got the footage out, though.
Stream. I heard it was a live stream.
Oh, it was a live stream.
I was saying before, like, if 9/11 happened now, we'd probably see it live streamed.
Yeah.
I mean, people saw it live on television already. They saw, like, the second plane hit live on television, but crazy.
Anyway, I guess to close it out, the best thing you can do, because I do want to provide a solution if you can, is, yes, donate to the Red Cross, donate blood where you can. And if you are, obviously, if you are able to, I know, do they still have that dumb restriction where you can't donate blood if you have tattoos or something like that?
I don't know, actually.
Obviously, I have not been out to donate blood recently because I have just not gone to the hospital. Now's not a good time.
They even lightened the restriction of being gay and donating blood, but they haven't gotten rid of it, which is dumb in its own right.
Well, that's good to hear. Oh, but
they lightened it, but like it's like you have to like be clean for this amount of time or something, which is... But that's still not the it's more than the restriction that exists for heterosexual people. So it's, I don't know. They should let anyone donate blood.
Yeah. Gay blood probably won't turn you gay. I don't know. I feel like
it's still preferable to...
To dying, yeah.
Dying from a bomb. An explosion, you know, I guess. Makeshift bomb.
I love how Trump called it a terrible attack. And immediately they say... Right here, the three U.S. Department of Defense officials told CNN as of Tuesday night there was no indication that the explosion was an attack. And I don't see anyone except Trump calling it an attack. That's just It's very characteristic of him to do that. Anyway, I hope my friends are out there safe. And that is tangentially gaming news, because I actually do know a gaming studio that was out there. Anyway, and more gaming news. This is a bit outdated now, but I want to talk about chairs, because there was the great chair debate 2 weeks ago. We do the Early Access Podcast every 2 weeks now. The great chair debate 2 weeks ago happened right after the last episode of the Early Access Podcast, so I wasn't able to chime in, but I dropped a long-ass Twitter thread. So, I owned a DX Racer for the entirety of my professional Twitch career, from 2013 up until, actually, 2020 is when I finally got it swapped out. But from 2013, I sat in this chair every day. It's your standard gamer racing chair, and I upgraded to a Herman Miller Aeron. I got this for, it's a $1,200 chair, but I got it refurbished for $600, and they are not sponsoring me, but I do want to talk about them because they gave me some great service. BTOD, behindtheofficedoor.com, is where I got it refurbished from. They are sold out now because everyone's working from home, but I decided to splurge and get one for myself. So I am not here to say I am rich boy Nikki and that you need to buy a $600 or $1,200 chair and save your back, and it's totally worth the money, and everyone should be doing it. That's not what I am here to say. What I am here to say is that gaming chairs are not worth the money. So my DX Racer costed $300 or $350, and I went into the ergonomics of it a little bit. First off, anecdotally, when I was 24, I was getting out of my car. It's a sedan, and it's not a super tall car, is the point. I literally, from sitting in my DX Racer and having gamed and streamed for years and years, actually put my foot down to kind of step up out of the car, and I had lower back pain that was so bad, I literally had to sit back down, take a breath, and then stand up and tolerate the pain. I actually went to the doctor for it, and he prescribed me this medicine. It's kind of a muscle loosener. And I took it for a little bit, and I decided to eventually get this chair that I am sitting in now that does have lumbar supports, a little lower back area. And I have zero back pain. This is going in from no stretching. I didn't do enough stretching. Admittedly, it doesn't matter what chair you sit in. You should probably do a little bit of stretching. It is simply swapping the chair and having just that little amount of back support. If you think about how a gaming chair looks, all of them are straight back. And if you look at your back in the mirror, it's not curved. Or it's not straight. I should say it's curved. You have a little bit of indentation. Your spine isn't totally straight. And gaming chairs don't support your back in that way. Now, I was very ignorant back in 2013. I was just, what's a good gaming chair? I saw all my streamer friends getting it. And that's one of the reasons I want to talk about that here today, is because it's so heavily advertised. Streamers will endorse, I'm not saying everyone, but streamers endorsing things can have a very powerful impact. That's why they call them influencers, on their viewership. And gaming chairs are one thing that people should be more aware of. So the whole straight back thing, not good for you. I had absolutely no back support. The material on it actually comes apart. And I have seen multiple accounts and seen with my eyes that the fake leather stuff on gaming chairs can actually cause rashes if it rubs against your bare skin for too long and actually cause like redness in your skin. Now, I wear sweatpants all the time indoors. But if you're wearing short shorts, I was going to say if you're a woman wearing short shorts, but I got nothing against dudes wearing short shorts indoors, whatever, man. If you are rubbing your thigh onto the chair, it can cause irritation because they're made out of such low quality, non-breathable material. Again, not sponsored by Herman Miller, but the chair I'm sitting in right now, it's made of an actual mesh material, so it's a lot more breathable, especially because it's summer right now. And it's really hot. I can put my arms in any position. The arms are a lot more adjustable. The chair, my DX Racer gave out on me. The little gas pressure thing that brings the chair up and down has actually completely died on me. So if I were to turn the chair 90 degrees, I actually deflate and get shorter, which is very awkward if you're in the middle of a conference call and you're just sitting there and you progressively get shorter over the span of 20 seconds. It's very noticeable. It's just a very uncomfortable chair. It's $350. There's alternatives out there. I was just chair shopping. So the IKEA Marcus is a chair that I actually didn't end up getting because I'm too tall for it, but it does have a headrest. Decided not to go with the headrest chair. Just got something that supports my back. You don't need to spend $1,200 on a fancy chair, but the premium ergonomics of it are worth the money. And I think the big reason that everyone was talking about this was because Logitech teamed up with Herman Miller to release a gaming chair that people were very disappointed in. I believe the price of it was, you know, you think if I was a professional, I'd look this up. Keeler, can you find the price of the Logitech Herman Miller chair that everyone was mad about? The Logitech Herman Miller chair, completely, it seems, first wave, was so successful that people are having to wait extra time to get into that first wave of orders because so many people were excited about the chair. And I saw tons of streamers on my timeline dunking on it, including competing gaming chair brands. One of which said, oh, would you rather have all this stuff, which was a picture of their shitty gaming chair and an Xbox and a desk and a headset, or this? And it was a picture of just the chair. And while $1,200 is a lot, and you don't necessarily need a $1,200 chair, it is an investment in the preservation of your posture and your overall health as you get older. And you got to think, the amount of hours that I spend in my chair, it's thousands a year, right? It's coming out to cents an hour to seat my ass in this chair and keep back pain out of my spine. Another thing that's wrong with gaming chairs is a lot of them have a inclined lip. So your knees are going to be higher than they would otherwise if you were to think of sitting on like a flat dining chair. And the reason chairs are like that are so that they have kind of bucket seating. If you're in a car, you know, a real moving vehicle, you don't slip and slide, or, you know, God forbid you're in a car crash, or even in a light fender bender, you slide around. You know, seatbelts are going to be the main thing that stop you from doing that. But the bucket seating is going to stop you from sliding around, and also helps you hit the pedals when you're in the driver's seat, get that little bit of lift on your knee. And because of the pedals, you are able to, or the lift on the chair, you're able to hit the pedals a little bit easier. When you're in a gaming racing chair, you are probably sitting holding a controller on your mouse and keyboard. It's completely unnecessary. It's bad for your blood flow. It doesn't help your posture, and correct seating posture should be with your feet on the floor. And so these chairs are, in the gaming industry, really just, they're flashy, they're colorful, they come in gamer colors, you get that RGB, you get that fancy blue and the cheap-ass pillows that come with it. And streamers are endorsing it, and you get 5, 10% off. But this gaming chair is our product that I unfortunately gave them a lot of, because they were a very tall seat, exposure, and a lot of notoriety. When I was a professional streamer, and I kind of want to take that back and talk about how much I had regret getting one. And highly encourage anyone to look into any other office seating option, even if you get a $100 cheap office chair. Gaming chairs are absolutely not worth it. Killer, did you have
the price number? Is almost $1,500, so it's a very high end chair. You could probably go lower than that and still get a superior chair than what you get from a DX.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to anything, when you're talking about premium anything, things start to get more expensive for less improvement. There's a diminishing return, right?
Right, yeah. There's always a diminishing return.
It gets twice as good, but it's only 50% better. You know, something like that. I got to say, my chair, if this chair got caught in a Lebanese explosion right now, first off, I hope I'm okay. But second off, I would get another one. Because this chair is incredible. You got the mesh, you got the completely adjustable armrests. It feels sturdy. And it actually kind of encourages you to sit up straight. I have the little lumbar support pillow on the back that's adjustable. I'd absolutely pay $600 for this chair again. And it's going to last a while. I know people have had Herman Miller chairs for literally decades. And when someone tweeted, this isn't a unique thought from me, but your Herman Miller chair warranty lasts longer than the Confederacy. And in that case, if you need another chair for whatever reason, you're paying that premium price to not only have a nice, comfortable seat, but also not to have back pain, and you can just get another one off their warranty. I know that sounds a lot like an advertisement, but go ahead, Keeler.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember when you were making the decision to get one, and I did support your reasoning for getting one in that, one, you work from home, so you're not like going to an office every day or something, or going to an arcade every day or whatever it is. And also because of the recent events, but even outside of it, you normally spend your free time and entertainment in that same chair, right?
Yeah.
So if you think of it something like, if you think, you know, like you've often talked about when justifying video games, if you think how many hours do you put in and then how would you divide the money that you spend on it into all those hours? If you play a $60 game for 600 hours, then it's actually doesn't seem that bad per hour compared to like a movie, which would be like $15 for a really expensive one with like all the stuff you get with it for 2 hours of content. And so this is like, you pay a lot of money, but then it's something that you're kind of using almost the entire day.
Yeah. I use mine 8 hours a day.
If this doesn't apply to you, then obviously that's a different story. But if it does, if it's something that you're going to be using for the vast majority of your day, then there is a value to that, to, especially since it's a health purpose. It's not just like an entertainment thing like a video game. It is a health value to not having back pain when you get out of the car.
Yeah. That was...
In your 20s. You're not like a 60-year-old man, 24? You know? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even hear that story before, but...
Yeah, I was literally
in the 20s. You're not a 60-year-old man. You're getting out of a normal-ass car as like a young 20-something man, and you are completely immobilized by back pain. So there is a value to having something nice to sit on.
Yeah, it's not... You know, you're going to go ahead, and if you ever go to a showroom where you get to sit in your friend's chair, the common criticism, it's not $1,200 comfortable. And comfort is one thing. It is more comfortable, people admit that, but it's not $1,200 more comfortable. It's not that. It's keeping your spine aligned and stopping, future problems. I have very, 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 very slight scoliosis, which is a bend in your spine. If I take my shirt off, you'd actually see that like one of my ribs sticks out farther than another. It's not because my rib is like grown in weird. It's because my spine curves a certain way that pushes that rib out of the front of my chest just a little weirdly. And so I just have a vested interest in taking care of my back because I do work from home. Whether or not there's a pandemic, I do work from home. But I realize that people aren't going to wear their masks and we're going to be here longer than necessary. And so I'm also going to be entertained at home now, almost exclusively. And so I got to put down the money for that. So that's my take on the Logitech Herman Miller chair. You don't necessarily need to get a $1,500 one, but get one refurbished for $600. Refurbished and used and factory new. And all those terms actually mean something in the chair and furniture industry. But what refurbished means, briefly, is that a certified repair man took the chair and got new parts and made sure it was is good to go and is almost like it is literally out of the factory. And that is 50% off what I got it for. Like it was out of the factory, just it wasn't really out of the factory. From that website I mentioned earlier, btod.com. And that is 15% off a $600. So $600 total. And I literally spend at least 8 hours a day sitting here. If I really am located in two places, in bed and in this chair. Other than that, you know, it's a very small amount of time, so it was worth investing in. So for all the gamers who are mad about the price, you don't have to get one that big and fancy, but the ergonomics of it, the adjustability of the arms, the breathable mesh, the sturdiness of it, the lumbar support, all of that. That's not nothing. You can sit literally in anything. You can get a stool. I know people I play Warzone with use camping chairs. That's totally fine. But when you want something that's going to last a while, then you're going to spend a little bit more money on it. Anyway.
The whole spiel was not about what to buy. It's what not to buy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Don't get a gaming chair. They are literally worthless. There's no upside to them. There's none. There's no redeeming factor of them out of the things I just mentioned.
Expensive, too. They're not even, like, cheap chairs.
No. If they were, like, $50, you know? Like, by all means, get a shitty $50 chair and, like, you save some money. That's totally fine. But no, $350? Absolutely not. Speaking of masks and your health, I got word today that San Mateo County is going to start fining people for not wearing their masks. This is something we actually needed to do a while ago. $100 to $500 fine based on the offense. I am not.
I live in San Mateo County. You used to work in San Mateo County.
Yes. That is $100 to $500 fines, depending on if it was your first or third offense. This is something we got to start doing so I can actually leave my house. The fact that we weren't punishing people for this just means that the guy on Target that I was talking about during the pre-show is not going to put his mask on. And he's going to wear it to get into the store, but he will immediately take it off. And if he's going to be fined $100, he's either going to have to get curbside pickup, have to do online orders, get online delivery, have to ask his presumably wife or girlfriend who is in there with him to pick stuff up for him, or do any of the other, you know, dozen methods of viable ways to get what you need out of Target without wearing a mask. And otherwise, you're going to have to pay a $100 or $500 fine, which I am all on board for because I need to leave. We have been in quarantine now for 5 months, and I stopped going to events. I was invited out to a party in February, which is now 6 months ago, and I decided not to go to that.
My preference is still giving people a mask if they don't have one, but I realize that's kind of harder now because after like several months of like politicizing of the validity of it, I understand that even if you gave someone it, a lot of people would probably reject it.
Yeah.
Although you could do like that first, maybe you could be like, you don't have a mask on, do you need one? And then if they say no, then I guess then apply the fine.
Speaking of asshole idiots, so Fall Guys came out today. Fall Guys is a battle royale Mario Party-ish party game. I've been watching trailers for it, and I've briefly watched other people play it. And it doesn't seem like the game for me. I don't know. I just don't feel like I'd play more than two rounds of it, you know? But Fall Guys in particular isn't what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the person I know who is in charge of giving content creators access to Fall Guys. And I'm going to read some of the emails that they sent her. So Fall Guys is extremely popular. It's killing it on Twitch right now. I think it was definitely in the top five of games. It might have been in the top three. But she got a lot of requests from streamers, big and small, to get content creator free keys to cover Fall Guys. Now, I'm going to read some of the emails. And she was able, she unfortunately had to reject a lot of these requests for keys. And I got to read some of these replies. This person says, "Can I have more keys to give away on the stream?" And her automated response says, "There is a high demand of codes, so they're being prioritized and portioned out more conservatively than in previous waves." Then this person replies, "Can't even give out 5 keys? Sad." And their title says Media Blogger Games. And there are tons of these people who are getting mad that, for example, I can't even name a big streamer. Shroud. Oh my god, am I that old now? Shroud. What is Shroud even doing now? He's off Mixer. Anyway, people are getting mad that someone like Shroud would get 10,000 keys to give away, while their channel with only 1,000 followers, they only get 5 keys to give away. And this is how you get blacklisted, people. These content creator, the people who work with content creators, either in PR, giving out keys, marketing, influencer relation teams, they talk to each other. And if you're a particular asshole, then you're going to get blacklisted from multiple different companies. Now, I think being a little sassy might just put you on the blacklist for being worked with in the future for that particular company. And the majority of content creators aren't like this, but there are plenty of people, for example, saying things like, "Hello, may I know why I got 5 keys when plenty of others got 40 plus? I have 37,000 followers and 1,000 viewers on Twitch and 15,000 on Twitter. People with like 10 times got less. People with like 10 times got like 10 times more keys."
I struggle
keys.
Reading this too.
Okay, there we go. "Thank you for your time, you are." When you're sending a professional email, also, don't type "you are." But look, bigger streamers get bigger keys because they have more people watching them and they are going to be able to influence more people to purchase the game. It is that simple. And a lot of content creators, unfortunately, I mean, it really shows. A lot of these people are just randos with no knowledge of actual broadcasting or professionalism coming out and trying to navigate what is the wild west of entertainment. Anyone can enter. There's no rules. Go out and harass or be a dick for keys. People are absolute. I'm going to read one more. Absolute dunces sometimes. Before I forget, this is actually very important. If you ever decide, this is a very bad idea, to take the keys that you get for free, either for a giveaway, or a key that was given to you so that you can review and cover a game. If you take that key and sell it to a key code site, we can track those. We as in influencer management people. I know that I gave you the key that starts with X583R. And if I see that code on for sale because we are monitoring it on G2A, for example, you are now blacklisted permanently. And that's probably one that will get you blacklisted from tons and tons of future opportunities across multiple publishers and distributors and PR companies. If we see that you sold that key to an online distributor, you're fucked. You are not working professionally with any of these companies. Now, it's also pretty shady, and I try to make it a point not to do this, to ask people to sub. Now, it is okay to prioritize if, say, for example, Kueller asked for a key and then I love potatoes 69 came in the chat and I've never seen before and he asked for a key, that I then decide to give Kueller the key. That is totally fine. But asking people to sub, asking people to pay for keys you were given for free is pretty shady. And this is, unfortunately, just stuff that people don't understand for some reason. But I wanted to put that out there just in case there are any content creators listening. Speaking of content creator stuff, let's talk about the Just Chatting category, which we have covered many, many times on Twitch. The Just Chatting category is, well, just to use the analogy again, the Wild West of Twitch. For some reason, for the past couple weeks, I've been watching 2.5 Men reruns. I used to watch it as a kid. I've been watching 2.5 Men reruns in the Just Chatting category, but Ashton Kutcher is being dubbed by a Russian or Spanish guy, and there are just 24/7 channels up in the Just Chatting category running 2.5 Men reruns in different languages dubbed over, and it's kind of hilarious. But in the Just Chatting category recently, there has been this streamer, and this is, I couldn't find this covered, well, on Twitter, because that's where I get all of my news. But there's a streamer, her name is Toxicat, insert number here, and that number changes because she goes on to the Just Chatting category, and she tries to get banned. She wants to see how quickly Twitch bans her. She's completely topless. It's very visible in the thumbnail. And the number at the end of her name corresponds to the number of times she's been banned. So when Toxicat 5 gets banned, which I'm actually going to go there now, she hasn't streamed on Toxicat 5 yet, but people have caught on to how she's naming her accounts, and she already has, oops, I accidentally typed 6. 6 is not ready yet, but 5 already has almost 500 followers, which is kind of how big of a story this is, but also kind of swept under the rug and no one's been talking about it. Her last stream, I'm not going to say her last stream, but the one on Toxicat 3, that was up for 30 minutes. I don't know how Twitch's infrastructure works. And of course, I don't think you should be streaming nudity on Twitch. But I wonder what the infrastructure on Twitch is like to have had a fully topless female streamer with hundreds of viewers in the Just Chatting category up for 30 minutes before she gets banned. Because we don't need to go check the rule book and say, oh, did she say a bad word? Let's go back in the VOD and see if she really said that. Or, oh, is this actually breaking the rules? This is kind of a gray line. We're going to have to talk to the other people on the Twitch Safety Council to see if this is an actual bad thing. She's just straight up topless. There's no gray line here. This is something that is not allowed on Twitch. She's more than welcome to be topless on other websites, but 30 minutes is what it took for Twitch to get her this one time. And she is able to keep making accounts. And Twitch has not yet banned Toxicat 5, which 500 people are already following. There's no real point to the story. I just wanted to... This further it reinforces our theory that Twitch is the horniest website on the internet. Because it took 30 minutes for her to get banned. Someone must have. I don't know. Maybe we live in a world where all 800 of her live concurrent viewers were cool guys. Like, we're not reporting this, right? Right? We're letting Twitch figure this one out. All right, cool, cool. And it really did take someone 500 or 30 minutes at Twitch to send the ban hammer in. Or maybe they have to file a report, do some paperwork before they permanently take a channel down, get their IP and ban their IP. I don't know. But 30 minutes is the current topless speed running record. And she's getting a decent amount of attention for it. I mean, she's already 500 people are following her, what is presumably her fifth attempt to get banned. That's what's happening right now.
She could start reserving accounts then.
She could. She could start reserving accounts. I'm afraid
as she gets more popular, people are going to start taking those accounts preemptively.
Yeah, right. People are going to take Toxicat 9 and then sell it to her when she gets onto it. But anyway, I don't think you should be nude on Twitch. But also, I think it's hilarious. So that's where that one ends. All right. A big news email came out to all Discord partners, including myself, discord.gg/StealthShampoo. We need your help here at the Early Access Podcast, mainly at Stealth Shampoo. So a big email went out to all Discord partners, and I'm going to outline, going to get a little tinfoil hatty, but bear with me here. Discord, when was the first TwitchCon, Keeler? Is it 2014? 15. So Discord was a premier advertiser at TwitchCon 2015. We're talking about they had big banners and panels, but they were everywhere on merch, advertised at TwitchCon 2015. They're a new and fledgling company that we all know to be the not actually gaming communication platform anymore. They've rebranded to be more general. But 2015, they were just starting out. And in 2015, they allowed Twitch partners to apply to the Discord partner program. Now, 2015, I was at one of the heights of my popularity. At 2016, I'd become even more popular. And Discord partnership was reliant on having a Twitch partnership and I think some other metrics. But I had a Twitch partnership and they immediately approved me for a Discord partner. So I was able to enjoy for the past 4 or 5 years benefits like Discord Nitro. I got the premium URL discord.gg/stealthshampoo. So I'm able to tell you guys to go there instead of go to discord.gg/8LD6 random letters, you know. And so I was able to get into that initial wave of partners. Now, this is where I get a little conspiracy theory-like. In 2016, Twitch bought Curse to have the Twitch communication client. They wanted everyone to go over to Curse, but everyone already solidified and started building communities as gamers and as communities and as streamers on Discord. So everyone was very hesitant to move over to Curse. And tinfoil hat, I think Discord might have been giving out partnerships to Twitch partners in anticipation for Twitch to buy out Curse because they did not renew Discord advertising with TwitchCon 2016. And they kind of saw that and got partners to solidify their communities on Discord so they wouldn't move over to Curse. Either way, it worked and no one's using Curse and everyone is on Discord now, including communities for things that aren't gaming related, whether it be dance, education, the flat earth community, weebs, all that stuff. And so I got my Discord partnership back in 2015. An email came out that says, Discord partnership is reopening. We are now going to accept new partners. It was closed for a while. And we are now going to be looking at your metrics on Discord rather than your metrics on the platform that you were big on. It's not something they could have done before because Discord was new. They couldn't look at your Discord metrics because they just wanted people on the platform. And so they would look at your Twitch number and say, oh, wow, Nikki, you have 1,000 viewers concurrent. Yeah, welcome aboard the Discord partnership program. And so the biggest thing the partnership program meant to me was the opportunity. I got invited to Discord partner parties. I joke around and say, like, I get free alcohol. I had to watch Dylan Francis live. And I got to get absolutely hammered on Discord's dime. I love that. But actually, I think if I'm being more realistic, not trying to be a smartass, the big benefit to being a Discord partner is getting into those parties. Because like I said, a lot of those older content creators got their partnership. And it's a great networking opportunity to get to know content creators by being able to access those kinds of parties. And my position at Live right now, my full-time job is creator manager. So having and maintaining those relationships is pretty important to me. So it would be a little bit of a loss if I was unable to go to that part of those parties as much as I'd miss the alcohol. I really also like the 100 megabyte uploads. I can upload larger files and we get the discord.gg/stealthshampoo premium URL. I get Discord Nitro. And they have not announced any grandfathering into this new partner program that bases their metrics off of your current server size. So I'm going to be completely transparent with my server numbers. I can pull them up right here. We are at on the Stale Shampoo server, discord.gg/StaleShampoo. Please go over, join. It helps me. But our current metrics right now, to maintain my partnership, I have 8 weeks. I don't know when the 8-week timer starts ticking, but should I fail, I just lose my partnership and I lose all those other perks. Oh, I also lose, because I lose Discord Nitro, I lose the premium name, Stale Shampoo 0001, so it randomly re-jumbles those numbers. And that's actually kind of a problem, because I'm in communication with a lot of people. Liv has set their community, the company I work at, on Discord, and a lot of my professional correspondence is through Discord, and randomly jumbling my letters could have impact. My email, my professional email's footer says StaleShampoo001 on Discord if you need to get in contact with me. So that is kind of a problem, but my number of weekly visitors is 31, and that needs to be 100, and my weekly communicators is 16, and that needs to be 50. So my metrics aren't looking good. I haven't done any pushing to get traction on my Discord. So a little bit of how I operate now as a content creator, because I do have a full-time job. As a content creator, I try to focus a little bit more on interacting. I'm not going to say a little bit more. I'm exclusively focused on supporting the people who still support me. I'm really not looking to grow. I want to play whatever I want. I want to enjoy what I'm playing. I don't want this to be a job. I don't want to hate it. It's something to pass the time right now while the Rona is going on. And so my Discord community, I think, is pretty reflective of that. I'm really active in there, and I'm not trying to actively get new people to come join my Discord, because it's ultimately built around me. It's no longer built around Evolve. It's no longer built around Destiny or The Last of Us like it was way back in the day. It is built around people who want to talk to me for whatever reason. And I'm into things that are hard to group together. Particularly Pokemon, now I'm playing Rogue Company and Warzone, and the overlap there is very bad. I'm not working on growing my Twitch channel. I've kind of given up on that. In fact, my Twitch channel has lost net 1,000 followers since like 2016 or 2017. I have really given up hopes of growth, and so I actually really value my Discord, because it's not something that I try to upkeep. It's something that is enjoyable to go and participate in a small group of friends, 16 communicators, like I said, 16 people who care about me, and I'm not trying to incentivize, like, hey, stay here because I'll give you a code or a game or a console. I'll do a giveaway or whatever. And I like it because the quantity of engagement might be low. I don't care about that. But the quality of it is all pretty decent. Unfortunately, I really do want to keep my partnership and, you know, still have access to the parties. And a lot of streamers are in my position. A lot of people aren't as big as they were back in 2015. In fact, the average career span of a streamer is 3 years. And so, I mean, 2015, back when we're all partnered, 2020, that's all. Most of us are irrelevant now, including myself. And I'm not mad at Discord for this new change. I don't think I deserve or I'm entitled to be grandfathered into the new partner system. I don't think anyone is. I think they're doing this on purpose, obviously, to kind of clean up the partner program because they want it to be the elite, the big servers. I kind of disagree with how the metrics are and how it has this emphasis on quantity and has no analysis to the quality of discussion. Which I realize that is going to be difficult if they wanted to do something like that. But I don't feel entitled at all. And I don't even feel, if I'm being completely honest, at this point that I deserve to maintain a Discord partnership. That being said, I still would like to make an attempt within 8 weeks to maintain it. So go over to discord.gg/StaleShampoo. Now, the quality of discussion is something that I really don't want to compromise that much. And I went into some other servers. I'm in 100 Discord servers at all times because I need to have correspondence with various VR developers at all times. And every VR game developer has their own server. And I also want to say it wouldn't be the end of the world should I not get partnership. But I came up with a couple ways, some good, some absolutely terrible. A lot of Discords, first off, terrible. Pokecord is the stupidest thing. If you don't know what it is, you type exclamation point catch every hour. This bot says, oh, catch Vaporeon. Type exclamation point catch, and you catch a Vaporeon. You type exclamation point Pokedex, and you see all the Pokemon you caught. That is quite literally useless and spam A viewer told me about counting to 1,000. You can go into a channel and everyone works together to count from 1 to 1,000. So I post 1, Killer posts 2, a different person posts 3. And unfortunately, those levels of engagement, that gets picked up by Discord's metrics that are required to get communicators for partnership eligibility. And that to me is useless. That is worthless interaction. But in Discord's eyes, for partnership, that's viable interaction. In fact, to be a communicator, you need someone to type or react, I believe. And to be a visitor, you just need someone viewing channels and browsing around, I think, are how they gauge that. And so there are servers that try to inflate that through these dumb little games. I personally, and I'm not hating on anyone who does, I don't like food channels. I never check those. I'm in plenty of Discords where people post their food or, oh, it's Korean barbecue, or look at this ramen. I mean, I do not care ever what anyone else is eating unless they're me. That's it. I do not give a fuck about what other people are eating. Animal threads are like, that's okay. Like, post a picture of your dog. But, you know, let's be honest. 5 days from now, it's the same dog. Okay, you put a hat on him. That's kind of cute. I don't hate the pets one, at least. So I went around and I watched some YouTube videos on how to grow your Discord server. And I found the first one I clicked on was straight fucking trash. I'm not going to make this a secret. I hate generic advice, especially in the influencer market. There's a lot of good and specific advice out there, like, oh, this is how the YouTube algorithm works. Streams are considered videos, and if your streams don't have high audience retention rate, then your videos will stop getting recommended because they think your stream, which is actually categorized as a video, doesn't have a high retention rate, so you shouldn't stream on YouTube. That is a specific and tangible and actionable piece of advice. Don't stream on YouTube because it can hurt your viewer retention rate, which hurts your searchability with the algorithm. I just gave you tangible and actionable advice. I watched this Discord advice video, and this guy gave 5 tips, and they're all bullshit filler. Be sure to talk in your Discord. No fucking shit, bro. Be sure to advertise your Discord. Yeah, I start every podcast with discord.gg/toshampoo, and I end with that. There's links everywhere, all that stuff. Take suggestions from your community. This is all fluff, generic, non-specific advice, and I absolutely hate advice like that.
How do you keep it active? How do you advertise it? How do you get advice from your community and not just, you know, any random person's idea on how a community should be run? Great way to just have everything be a disaster if you do it all wrong.
It was a waste of my... It was a 6-minute video, but I watched it in double time speed and skipped around. Yeah. So it was really like 2 minutes of my life. That was an absolute waste. Now, it didn't take me long to come across someone who has a Discord bot that gets you potentially thousands of new people joining. Now, these are all legitimate accounts. And the way he does this is really interesting. And I'm interested to see how Discord polices this. But here's how it works. You invite this bot to your Discord, and you get tokens. And the way you get tokens is by telling the bot, give me a Discord channel to join. And it gives you a Discord channel, and you join that Discord channel, right? Now you have a couple tokens, right? You type in there, you get more tokens. Now I've accumulated, let's say, 100 tokens. Now that I have 100 tokens, I can advertise my Discord on that bot. So I tell the bot, advertise my Discord. Here's 100 tokens. So you keep it up for 24 hours. You know, the longer you keep it up, the more tokens it takes. Then people come into your Discord because they want to get tokens, and you see how the loop works. I want tokens to advertise my Discord, so I go into other people's Discord. I go into other people's Discord. I get tokens so I can advertise my Discord. There's the loop there. And it's authentic, real people joining your chat. They're going to type a little bit, but it's... So the joining metric is going to be easy. The partner metric that restricts you from joining is going to be very easy to reach, because you just have people joining and clicking around. That shouldn't be too hard. The interaction metric, if they interact, if they want tokens, if they find something to say, if they find where they're in interesting, they might interact. Now, the problem is the quality of that interaction isn't going to be what I want. You know, I enjoy talking in my Discord because people are coming in and saying more than, hi, how's the weather? Wow, look at this Pokemon card I pulled. And while it's interesting, I guess, maybe we will start a Pokemon card pull channel or something like that. It's not what I'm looking for. I want my Discord to be a really something that I don't feel like I need to upkeep. Something that's not artificial. For the most part, the things people talk about in there are things I care about. Not to be cheesy, but I'm not ever driving engagement in there for the sake of driving engagement. Everyone is there because they want to be there. And that's kind of how I operate on the internet. I don't want you to follow me on Twitter if you don't give a shit about me. I want you to follow me on Twitter because you care about something I have to say about VR or the industry or listen to me bitch about Pokemon Go, right? I want the same with the Early Access podcast. I actually don't advertise this podcast at all. At all. I don't tell anyone about this. It goes up on Spotify. If you want to hear me talk for, you know, an hour and a half to an hour, by all means, drop by. But I don't want people listening to me if they don't want to listen to me, because this is not how I make money anymore. And I don't want it to be how I make money, because I feel like I'm burnt out on that and that time has passed, if that makes any sense. So I'm trying to find a compromise in how I make my Discord more active so I can maintain partnership, because again, I want to keep those networking opportunities available and, let's be honest, go to parties and get wasted. And the free swag is dope if you're watching live on twitch.tv/dushampoo. This Discord pillow behind me came from a... It's directly behind my head right now, but it came from a Discord party. They give out dope bags. And I really actually do like speaking to the staff. I've been to their headquarters. It's actually pretty close to where Kuler and I live. The headquarters is awesome. They throw incredible parties there. They usually throw it monthly, but obviously not so much anymore. And those kinds of opportunities are things I want to keep open to me amongst all the other things I said. So it's about finding ways to engage with people, but also not make it super artificial. And it's now, you know, if you think about that as a slider, the quality of interactivity has always been genuine and stuff I cared about. Now, how much am I willing to compromise to maintain my partnership? And that's sort of the question I'm dealing with right now. God, like, we can have a food channel, but you best bet I'm not going to be like, wow, that Subway sandwich looks delicious, Kuler. Incredible. Thanks for sharing. I don't give a fuck, bro. I'm sure people would love to share their DIY Animal Crossing furniture, but that's not what I stream. It's not what I build my community on. It's not something I care about. And so... It's put me a bit of a pickle. I, again, understand why Discord is doing this, though. They want to remove some of the fat, which I very well may be the fat of the Discord partner program, and make it the most top-of-the-line people. So anyway, how you can help, join discord.gg/delshampoo. React to literally anything. You don't have to type anything. Just react to someone's post with a smiley face or a thumbs up or a random letter or number. And that'll drive up my metrics. And it's about the number of people and not the number of times people type, which is rough. The number of times each individual types and the length at which they type. And again, this algorithm will be difficult to get out. But the depth of the discussion, the amount of words people are typing, the characters, how frequently they're typing, that doesn't matter. The metrics that seem to matter right now, at least if you are a partner trying to maintain partnership, are the quantity of people. And while I disagree with that, I realize that the quality is going to be a little bit harder to track. Do you have anything else, Data, that you like to share in my Discord a bit?
Probably not, because it's almost an hour.
It has been almost an hour. I gotta take a sip of water. And we're gonna close it out. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, discord.gg/stealthshampoo. Join us over there because I desperately need the help. It's been the Early Access Podcast. We're here live at twitch.tv/stealthshampoo Tuesdays. Every other Tuesday at twitch.tv/shampoo, 8 p.m. PDT. We'll see you guys all on the next episode.